Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now here's a message from one of our special guests.
All right, now are we ready? Yes. And if you're single, you're in the right place too. Because relationships is for everybody, just like sex is. And yes, sex is good. And it was a gift given to all of us. We just need to learn how and when to use it. So there's not a problem with that. And I'm so excited to be hosting this relationship workshop. To my left, my wonderful, gorgeous husband, Jorge. Larry, he is somebody else's husband. Where is she? Pastor Dan, to my right, also taken. And Robert Madu, also taken. But there's a whole lot of wisdom on this table. And we just wanted to voice some of the questions that you ladies have. And there's questions coming from single moms, from single women, from married women. And we're going to start with you, Robert. You're the lucky one. So the first question is... What are signs that a woman can look for in a man that is marriage material?
Come on, somebody. who's just so we know the room, how many of you are single and looking for a man? Okay, come on. Somebody put both hands up. Hallelujah. He's coming. I think one thing that helped me, and I think every man and woman should do this, is I made a list when I was single and dating of qualities that I was looking for in a wife, down to every single detail. And then next to that list, I put some things that I said are non-negotiables. So I think that's just so healthy to do. Put everything on your list, pray for that list, but then have some things that say, okay, no matter what, I have to have this. And I think just starting off from that premise is so healthy, because let me just kind of share from my journey. Growing up in church, had so many mentors, and they didn't mean to do this, but they would pick me up by the lapels, and they would say, Robert, the most important decision that you will ever make after giving your life to Jesus is who you marry. I know ministers who cry themselves to sleep because they married the wrong person and messed up their ministry, and da-da-da-da-da. And they didn't know that when they said that, that put this ridiculous standard for me when I was in the dating process. So I'm looking for somebody that prays like Mother Teresa, but is a super, I mean, what is ministry minded? And to put these unrealistic expectations and what I had and what I wanted. So I think starting with that list, and then also knowing what is a non-negotiable, and what is something that you could pass on. Okay, if he loves Jesus but don't got no teeth, give me that over any man who got the perfect teeth. But come on, he's Satan's grandson. So I think first of all, you know, defining that list, and that's going to be different for different people. I think obviously to give the super spiritual answer, obviously you want somebody who's a follower of Christ, but I think there's some other things in a man that make him marriage material. I would say maturity would be one. What is his maturity level? I think we live in this age of a lot of men who are stuck in adolescence, and they're not looking for a wife, they're looking for a mama.
Preach it, brother.
And that is not what you want in your life. So I would say, what is his maturity level? Another trait I would say is consistency. What is consistency? What does he look like? Me and my wife, we dated for 6 years, on and off, off mainly because of me and my commitment issues. But as she always said, I was waiting for you to get the clue. But now we look back and we say, you know what, that was so good for us, that 6 years, because we were able to see each other in different seasons. And I think if you can just step back for a moment and see, is he consistent? Is he faithful? Maturity, consistency, his work ethic. I think that's a huge, huge, huge trait. I was saying it jokingly, but Adam did have a job before he had a woman. And so you want a man that's going to provide. So I think those are three that I definitely put at the top of the list.
Awesome. Great. Thank you. Larry, we're going to move to you. How to speak so my husband would listen?
Don't say anything. That's kidding.
From the 25,000 words we have.
Oh, over here. All right, listen, it's great to have a good wife that communicates really well. And that's my wife, Vanessa. She does a great job of that and helps me because I'm very quiet, introverted. I used to be, all right? But I think there's a couple verses you could share. One would be Ephesians 4:15, talk about speaking truth. You know, when you're going to say something, you may as well say the truth about it. Whatever the issue may be, there's a level of integrity that you have in your relationship. And you need to allow the truth to come out, okay? Second thing I would tell you is the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath, right? All right? And this is not necessarily just for women. It's for men, too. But it's very easy for men to go into a shell or shrink back when they're getting yelled at or there's a continual. One thing men do not like is to be embarrassed. Okay? Can I get an amen up here? All right. You didn't have to say it that loud.
Amen, okay. Amen too.
So a soft answer turns away wrath. And you can communicate just as effectively. Now, there's times when people are emotional and something's got to be said and you can't help yourself. But there's also a time where if you just calmly make your point, it's probably going to resonate a little bit more with a lot of men than it would if it came out very harshly. The other thing's timing. You know, the best time to talk to a man is not going to be with 10 seconds left when LeBron James is at the foul line and you want to bring up, okay? So it might be a little tough getting his attention. But what I found is in relationships, you may want to just say, hey, what's a good time for us to talk? Wow. Ask the question. Now the man's responsible to respond. Okay, can we talk in 30 minutes? Okay, instead of just jump in and just jump at it, right? And so there are a number of things that can benefit your relationship, but it all comes down to, you know, you really loving one another and knowing that even though things may not have come out right, that there's really a goal here, there's an end game, we're trying to overcome a problem or a situation. But I think the biggest thing is Ephesians 4 talks about speaking in love and having the integrity to share whatever's on your mind.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Jorge.
That's me.
How to know if my husband is having an affair or struggling with a sex addiction?
Oh.
Now, we're not asking this because you're Latino. Just because you work with sex problems.
Has nothing to do with that, my love. Don't
just
you ever
saying,
worry
honey.
About that. All right, well, let's clear something before I answer that, because many times you're going to be finding some of these signs in your relationship. Doesn't mean that your husband is a sex addict or that he's acting out or whatever. But generally speaking, a person who has some issues with addiction, you're probably going to experience some mood swings and some compulsive behaviors. You might notice that he's probably withdrawing from everything, like isolating himself to a different place, a different sphere. And that's typically some of the signs that you have to be watchful. There's a cycle of lying, deception. You're going to be experiencing and finding out he's lying again. Why is he lying to me? Why is he lying? So he's out of control with the lying and the truthfulness. If he spent too much time on his phone or computer use, you have to be watchful because he might be struggling with porn addiction or even like social media addiction, for that matter. Anything that distracts him from your attention, from adding you the value that you deserve, is worth checking out. So addiction could be, is sex addiction or an affair? Well, watch those times away. Too much time after work. Ouch. There's always like a late meeting thing programmed. You know, what's going on at work that is more important than me? So just be watchful for those signs. I mean, I think it's very important to keep an eye on that. Also, the guy is not going to be able to connect emotionally. He's not going to be able to connect spiritually, for that matter. So you're going to be filling that void in the emotional, in the connection, in the spiritual. Like, I am married, but I feel lonely. I am feeling like I have no support, like he's totally absent. And those are the things that would actually translate into many other things. Another thing, since we're talking here, right, in family, he might be pushing you or his partner into practices that are not normal, because he's like most likely escalating into his fantasy world. So he may want to push you to go there, and you're not even wanting to go there, but you see that he becomes very creative in his sexual patterns. So you have to be watchful, because he might be trying to experience with you what he's already experiencing by on his own. A guy that plays too much with himself, like after being with you, and then he's wanting to play more with himself, I would be questioning that, because are you not satisfied with what you just did with me? So, you know, I mean, just little things that would probably just show a lead. He might be struggling. Do I have to stop?
Yeah.
Okay. I feel like Pastor
Deborah. You don't get
Deborah
more time
now.
Because you're my husband.
I feel like Pastor Deborah now. Like, it's 18 more seconds. I'll just show you this. One more. Do you want to hear one more? It's really up to you. I can stop right now.
Come on.
Okay. Last one. Actually, if he's too controlling, sometimes through a conversation, he's controlling sexually. If he's controlling through silence or through anger, he might be just struggling, or he might be getting into some too much shame or guilt that would eventually lead into depression. That's also some of the signs that we have to watch. Thank
my shy,
so
introverted husband. Pastor Dan.
Hello.
On another note, what is one quality that you cannot do without in a woman? And what is one quality that would make you run away?
Ooh. Well, I think telling my story from my perspective, what's one quality that I cannot do without? One of the things that I believe when I met Pastor Jessica, that I fell in love with her, that caused me to desire to be around her and with her and to get to know her more, was that she loved God so much that there was no way that I could ever compare in her love for God. She's so passionate, and you guys heard her testimony today. You know, when she'd been through such hell, and yet she had made the choice, and whether you've been through hell or not isn't the issue. I was like the good kid growing up, you know, and everybody tells me you're perfect, you've never done anything wrong, all that kind of stuff, even though, you know, we all have things that we've done in our lives. But, you know, in comparison, when you take a look at what I did versus what she did, it's like, well, you know, man, she was really out there, you know, and yet she's not in the room, is she? She's gone, so I can talk about her. That's good. All right. Don't tell her I said this. No, but here's what it comes down to, is that she had been through such hell, and yet she made the decision, just like I had made the decision, that we were just going to fall so in love with Jesus, and that if we never got married, if we never had anybody, that didn't matter. We were just following Jesus and whatever he had for our lives. And so the one quality that I knew that I couldn't do without was that she had to have the fear of the Lord. She had to love God more than she would ever love me, and that had to be the number one thing forever and ever throughout our relationship and never change. Because the moment I take the place of God, we've got an issue, right?
Yes.
God has to be God. I have to be the husband and the man, but I could never be God for her. She had to be so in love with the Lord and fear the Lord so much, because that's what the book of Proverbs says, actually. That's how Proverbs chapter 31, right? The virtuous woman, that's how it concludes its statement, is that charm is deceptive, beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, right? And so when I look for a quality in a wife, man, there was definitely a list that I had. You know, I had my list of things as well. And I said, you know, I want this and that and the other. And then there was the non-negotiables. And that number one was she has to fear the Lord, not just be around church or be raised in church or just call herself a Christian, because I had met those girls and I had been hurt by those girls. And so I knew I'm not looking for that. I'm looking for somebody who's wholehearted, sold out. They've got such eyes for Jesus that God has to bring her across my path.
Yes.
In order for us to even notice each other. And we weren't looking when we met. We met early. We met young at 21 years old. We got married. And so that was our story. But we were so cautious. And we took our time. You know, we said we're not even going to date until we've been friends for 3 months. And so we didn't call it anything, even though our friends were like, you guys, just shut up and go away. You know, it was kind of like that sort of thing. So, but we said, we're not putting anything on this. We want to make sure that we're friends. And then we didn't ever date. We said, this is a courtship. We know we're headed towards marriage. We're not playing around. We're serious about God. And if this is something serious, we're going to be serious about one another. It involved our both sets of parents, that sort of a thing. And it was all in the fear of the Lord. And that was something that we carried into our marriage that to this day, I mean, that girl will check me. She will let me know when I'm not operating in the fear of the Lord. She will let me know, you know, the prophet in my house is Jessica. And so she's telling me, you know. But the neat thing is that I've been able to come to her with things as well and to tell her, hey, this is the non-negotiable. This is where we're at. This is, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. This is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. You know, she talked about that time she went through that depression. I was standing over her saying, you're not going there. This is not going to happen in our house. We're coming back to the Lord, and you're not going to fall into depression. You're going to fall into the arms of Jesus. That's what this is going to be like. So that's the one thing I can't do without. The one thing that I could do without, I mean, like, you know, you look at certain things. Larry had said some certain things. You know, what I see in the Word that I think is off-putting, especially to men, which if we're talking to singles and marrieds, you know, whether you're a single person looking to be married, looking for a relationship, or whether you're married looking to have a better relationship with your husband, I think the one thing that men, you know, really for us, when you look in the Word and when you look in practical, is that men are looking for respect. And if we know that a woman respects us, oh my goodness, it does amazing things for us. You know, when my wife comes and tells me, honey, I love you, I'm like, I love you too, you know, and it makes my heart pitter-patter. But when the woman comes to me and says, I really respect how you handled that situation. I really respect how hard you work for our family. I really respect how much time and effort and prayer and passion you're putting into the church. I mean, like, I am on cloud nine at that point. And I believe that's the way God made us. I believe that's, you know, God gave Adam the job before he gave him the woman, right? Men, when we meet each other, first thing out of our mouth is, what's your name? The second thing is, what do you do?
Yes.
Right? Men are looking for respect. And if we go home and we're disrespected by the one that we love the most, that's damaging to us as men. And so, ladies, if you're looking to better your marriage, if you can find something that you respect about the man, I know we make it hard on you sometimes, okay? We can be pretty pig-headed at times, but, you know, if you can find something, you know, he fixed the toilet, or, you know, so I told a story last week, I fixed a toilet, Jess sat me down and made me dinner and gave me the remote control. Oh, my goodness, I was looking for things to fix in the house after that.
Praise God for broken toilets.
Oh my goodness, you know? So if he painted a wall, who cares if he went and put a dish in the sink? Honey, I respect the fact that you did that, because disrespect is so often, and the same thing for single girls. If you can find something, you like a boy, right? And you see the man and he's got a J-O-B, and you say, you know, I really respect the fact that you're working. Not a lot of guys, man, that guy's going to be coming around looking for you. Can I get your number? What, you know, let's hang out. Let's talk more about this. You know what I mean? They're going to love that. So, two qualities.
Thank you. Awesome qualities. Ladies, you're taking notes? All right. This one is for Robert and Jorge. So, you guys have to split that answer. We just want a little bit more of different points of view or experiences. What would you say to a woman who has lost faith in man? Her heart has been broken, she's been betrayed, whatever the issues of life, she's lost, like, I won't trust them anymore. What would you say to that woman that it's in this audience today?
Don't listen to an Adele record while you're... No, I would say... I would say, and I'll be brief, I really say, don't ever reduce your expectation to the level of your experience. So many times in life, we do that with everything, where maybe you start off with this expectation of, man, I know God's got this great person for me, and then all of a sudden you deal with somebody who's horrible, and all of a sudden you start reducing your expectation to what you've experienced in your past. And I think if you just always operate from a premise that said, hey, God has the best for me, I'm his daughter, he has greater in front of me than what's been behind me, that's just the healthiest place to operate from. Because a lot of times when we've had so many bad experiences, it's amazing, and I've seen this happen so many times in the church, so many women who have settled because they said, well, you know, I've given up, this is all I can get. So yeah, he's married, but hey, I'll be the side chick, and I'll get you on Christmas and or the day after, because I think that's, you know, that's all I can get. And you're reducing your expectation to the level of your experience. So I think that's the biggest thing I would say is never do that. And I know it's hard. It's one of the hardest things, because a lot of times when you've been through pain, you've been hurt, you say, hey, this is life. But always believe that God has greater for you, he has better for you, and never reduce your expectation to your past experience.
Thank you. Jorge?
I'm just going to echo Robert's voice here, because I think many of you ladies come from a broken background, a broken past, and it's very easy to lose hope. It's very easy to lose, to stop dreaming when dreams have already been scattered in front of your own eyes. But I'm here to remind you that the same way Jesus was broken to pieces to prove that he had the quality and the endurance to stand through it all, the same way God can restore and raise someone from nothing and make something shiny and beautiful for you. I take Pastor Jessica. You heard her testimony earlier today. And I take a man like Pastor Dan, the heart of gold and the heart, the quality that I find in this man. And I see God's redeeming power at action. So don't lose hope, because God is a hopeful God. He brings hope alive. And, you know, yeah, it's been due to our own choosings. We realize that many times we choose wrong. And then what else should we expect? Wrong consequences or bad consequences. But through it all, God's grace is made alive, because he's an expert at mending brokenness. Yes. So don't you ever stop dreaming, woman. Don't you ever allow yourself to hear any other voice but the voice of the hopeful God who brings light to your darkness. So he's alive, and the fact that he's alive right here with us, that means there's hope and there's a better future for you. In Jesus' name.
Yay! We actually have time for one last question that Pastor Jessica gave me that you guys don't have and don't know. So this is the surprise bonus question. Actually, I guess she was bombarded so much with this one. What to do as a wife when you know your marriage is in crisis, you know your marriage needs help, but your husband refuses to either come to the ministry, come to the pastor, or go to the therapist, and you're in that place. What would be your advice to convince that husband to move forward? Larry, you want to give it a shot?
Pray. I think it's the example that you lead in the house or to your husband. You win him over by your actions. And you have to demonstrate patience. You also have to continually make it a charge that, hey, we have to get this thing corrected. We, not you. We got to do this together.
Like that.
And, you know, just a little bit off the subject here. Whether you're single or you're married, one of the things that when you're not married, you're gathering data, you're dating, you're gathering information. And one way of figuring out what you're looking for is the Bible tells us this two times. It says, one, where their treasure is, their heart will be also, right? So what you're seeing is what they really are all about. That's their treasure. And that's where their heart is. And so we got to hopefully encourage them to change their treasure. The treasure is Jesus, right? And the second time we hear that in a different way, it says hide the word in our hearts so we won't sin against God. This is for the earlier question. And that word hide is also treasure, the word in your heart. then you won't sin against God. So I guess what I'm saying, maybe not answering your question specifically, but if you as the wife or the hopeful fiance or girlfriend get to the point where you can figure out how him get him to treasure the things of God, whether it's by your actions, what you say, what you do, and how you encourage them. If you encourage somebody, a man, and walk away, believe me, when you leave, it impacted him.
Yes.
He may not say it, thank you, I need to hear that. He may cuss you out, but he heard it, I'm telling you. And just walk away. Let their word go ahead and do what it's supposed to do. It won't return void. It's accomplished what it's set forth to do.
Woo!
Right?
That's good.
All right.
Pastor Dan.
You know, I get asked this question a lot, and I've had, you know, plenty of times where I had a woman talking to me out there in the foyer just in the past couple weeks. I can remember one that I've talked to, and I always bring them back to the same scripture, and just like Larry said, the word works. And the Bible talks about the disobedient husband, talks about the man who's a knucklehead and who's not doing what he's supposed to be doing. In 1 Peter chapter number 3, it says, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives." Verse 2, "When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear." Verse 3, "Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing of gold, or putting on fine apparel." Verse 4, "Rather let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God." Verse 5, "For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands." Verse 6, "As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are, if you do good and are not afraid with any terror." I love the fact that it uses the example of Abraham and Sarah, because there was a time where Abraham left the promised land that God had called him to and went down into Egypt, and he also went into the presence of Abimelech. And at those times, Abraham, because his wife was beautiful, even at her old age, she had such beauty that he told her, "This is the kindness that you're going to do to me. This is what you're going to do, is that you're going to say I'm your brother." Now, they had come from the same family tree and that sort of a thing. Times were different then, and so it wasn't a total lie, but it was not the truth. They were obviously married. But she just said, "Yes, sir." And she just went along. Now, the neat thing about that is that Sarah, being submissive to her own husband in that, it may not have been flat out sin, right? We're never called to submit to sin. So if your husband's asking you to go into sin, the answer is no, right? You have to fear God. But if he's just saying, "Listen, you know, this is how it's going to be, and we're not going to spend our money on that," or we're, you know, and he's just a knucklehead, or he's not, you know, marriage is on the rocks because all he wants to do is sit on the couch and watch TV, and all he's going to do is his thing, you know, he's out in the garage tinkering with cars and he's never teaching the kids. You're in there helping him with math homework and that sort of thing, looking at YouTube videos to find out how to do algebra after so many years, right? And yet, if you will humble yourself and trust God, that's why the Bible says that Sarah obeyed her husband, calling him Lord, and was not afraid with any terror. She was walking in the reverent awe of the Lord and wasn't afraid of what was going to happen to her because she knew that God had her. And when you do the word, you've got God on your side. And he's going to see your chaste conduct, that if you will have that gentle and quiet spirit, you know, it's easier to yell and scream. It's easier to nag. It's easier to get in his face. It's easier to tell him and give him a piece of your mind. It's harder to trust the Lord, to pray, to let the word work, to respect a man who doesn't deserve your respect, honestly. And yet, if you will respect him just out of the principle of the word of God, the word works, because God looks after his word to perform it. And so if you'll put on that gentle and that quiet spirit, you know, a man, we're tough, we're rugged, we can physically puff ourselves up, we can physically shout, we can, you know, get into a match of strength and wit and will and all that kind of stuff, but no man can stand against the power of the Lord. And when you start to operate in the word of God, and if you meditate in these verses, God will show you the practical ways that looks in your situation. And in that, as you follow the Lord and fear God and then respect that man, I believe that God will work on his heart, and he, without a word, seeing your conduct, has the word right in front of him being lived out of your life. And so he will be obedient to that word in your life because that's what the word says.
Awesome. Anybody else?
I just wanted to add one thing real quickly. I would just say, in a very practical sense, check the circle of girlfriends that are around you. I've seen a lot of ladies who have let outside voices affect their marriage more than anything else. They're wrong Ooh. Outside voices. So if you're in a marriage that's already on the rocks and struggling, and you got your single girlfriend that you go and talk to, and she's telling you, you're already frustrated. You're like, girl, if that was me, I wouldn't put up with none of that. Well, it's not you. It's not your husband. If you keep listening to that voice, you're going to be single with her. So I'll say, just be careful the voices that are around you. When you're going through a season like that, I want to talk to a Pastor Deborah who's going to say, stay in faith, stay in love, stay together. Those are the type of voices that you want in your life. So I've seen it happen so many times where the outside voices, the wrong sisters you allow in your life have actually affected your marriage. And that's what messed up Adam and Eve. She talked to the snake and that snake jacked up their relationship. So that's the only thing I wanted to add.
Well, I think, yeah, and I have another scripture, if I think correctly right now, it's out of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, somewhere around verses 11, 12, somewhere around there. Apostle Paul speaks to husbands and wives that are equally, that are married to unbelievers. And it's actually almost like, you know what? Sticking to the plan, you might have better chances to see God move in their lives. So what I'm encouraging you all, if you're going through these circumstances, is just stick to the plan. Even if you have to submit yourself to some therapy yourself to improve and become a better human being, a better person. We live out of modeling, and I'm pretty sure, just like corroborating with Pastor Dan's word, by the words and the actions of your own testimony, that man will come and submit himself to God. Because there's power in the word of God. And we cannot put that into doubt. We need to trust that he will complete the good work that he has started. So by you submitting yourself to a process and you modeling, this guy will and shall follow and shall be saved.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Our own lives, our own testimonies, and how we protect our lives, who we surround ourselves with. That is so good because, yes, we're so affected by our environment.
I got to say it. You got to be confident in who you are, right? You got the greater one on the inside of you. Yes. Regardless of the circumstance, the situation, he who began a good work in you will complete it. And you got to walk like you have confidence, like you got the greater one on the inside of you, and you're walking in victory, not in defeat. You know what I'm saying? All right, let me drop
now,
this
mic. Now, one last question. And this is from single moms struggling with adolescents, especially male adolescents, without the presence of a father. And these kids are struggling with two things, identity issues and early sexual experiences. What do you say to that mom? How is she supposed to know what to say, when to say what, and how to go about this? We have a high number here of moms that are brave, strong women that are doing their best job at raising boys alone. What would be some words of wisdom or encouragement?
We need to find strength where strength is, and that is the body of Christ. So that's why God provides, if it's not an immediately figure that is a father figure, he will find someone, an uncle, or someone in faith, in the family of faith that will represent that model that he needs. Someone that would have the authority. By the way, if you're a single mom, the same authority that would flow from a male will flow through you. So don't ever doubt the authority that has given you to bring order to your house. If there's a male figure, then that person can impart order to the chaos. If your son is already acting out, I would say expose him to healthy environment with other male solid believers. Solid, not people who would take advantage of the situation, but solid in faith would actually speak life and bring about changes in his life as well.
Anybody else?
I want to hear what Larry would have to say, because Larry, you were raised by a single mom, right?
Yes. Yeah. My mom raised 8 kids, 7 terrible, 1 real good one.
I wonder who's a good one. counts.
All right. No, my mom raised 8 kids by herself. I always think about this. How did she do this? Cleaning houses. All right. I think I was 4 years old when, you know, I saw my dad at the time bust the door down. I still remember this to this day, before they got divorced. Somehow or another, Grace got her here. God's sovereign, divine ability to get the job done on her behalf when she couldn't do it. And so I think, like, iron sharpens iron. It doesn't hurt to talk to somebody else that's been through this before, because you're not the only one. We get the old me, oh my's going, you know, right? 1 Corinthians 10:13 talks about no temptation overtaking you, but such is common to man. God's faithful. He'll not allow you to be tested beyond what you're able, right? So you can't say, why me? He says, common to man. So I'm not trying to be harsh, but at some point, you got to look left and right and be built up by some other folks that have the word on the inside of them and build them up. But my mom lived this thing consistently for years and years with 8 kids. 5 of them went to college. We had some rough ones in there, too. That's a whole nother story. But she's still living. She's still doing it. It's a long story, but that's it.
Awesome. Awesome. Any more wisdom on this side?
I don't have, I think that's awesome what everybody said. First of all, if you want some hope, look at Larry, who's an amazing man of God, raised by a single mom. I just think that's amazing because I met his sons, and what an incredible testament you are to God's faith and his grace. And but how many, I just out of curiosity, how many of you are a mom and you're raising your child by yourself, raising your children by yourself? Would you stand just where you are so we can see you? Come on.
Yes, yes.
Come on, can we make some noise? If you want to know what a superhero looks like,
woo! Yes.
Come on, you're looking at some Wonder Women. Come on, y'all can do better than that. Would you let them know how incredible they are? I just think we should take a moment. Pastor Dan, would you just, y'all stay standing. Come on, stay standing. I love moments like this because we can kind of just allow the Holy Spirit to do something. I just want Pastor Dan just to pray supernatural strength to come to you today, that you're going to make it. You're going to produce an amazing son that'll stand on the stage one day and give testimony just like Larry did, saying, yeah, my mom did it, and I'm still here, and I'm still standing. So I'm just going to ask Pastor Dan just to pray a prayer of strength over you guys.
Thank you, Jesus. But can you just stretch out a hand towards these ladies? Let's just undergird them with our faith together. Father, I thank you for every woman that's standing in this place as a single mom. Lord, first and foremost, let them know that they do not stand alone. There is a father in the house, and that's you, Lord Jesus. Now, you are there with them. Your spirit is empowering them. And God, in that void of a male presence, no matter the history, God, Lord, that you are there, ever present now. And Father God, that they are not lacking any good thing, because you will see to it, Lord, that you will abundantly supply their need. And Father, I pray, Lord, that those conversations that they have with their children, Lord, from a young age to old age, God, I thank you, Father God, that there is a wisdom, that they don't have to premeditate or worry about what they're going to say, but just like the disciples were told, God, that the Holy Spirit will give them an answer at the right time. Father, it will be age appropriate, that it will be given in love, Lord. I thank you, Father God, that even though the children may not look on the surface like anything's going in, Father God, that by faith, Lord, that these moms will know that you are working on their behalf, God, that there's something going on in the heart. You said, train up a child in the way that he should go, and they will not depart from it, even when they grow old. And so, Father God, we're in this for the long haul, God. And I pray for grace. I pray for strength. I pray for wisdom. God, I pray for resource. Lord, I pray for faith-filled sisters. Father, I pray for godly examples of men that these children can look up to and see healthy relationships, that they can see strong male influences. Lord, I thank you, Father God, that you protect them from the wicked one. Lord, these are your children. And God, we trust you with them more than we trust ourselves. And so, Father, we pray for each and every one of these children, God. We pray, Lord, that they would be raised to be godly men and women. Lord, world changers, God, people of influence, people with grace, Lord, and that they will love their mothers and appreciate the sacrifices and the struggles, God. Lord, you said that the virtuous woman, that their children shall rise up and call them blessed. And so, Father, I thank you that these women in their lifetime, that will be a prophecy that is fulfilled in them and in their children. And Father, we thank you, Lord, that you wrap just your love and your comfort, your peace, God, around them right now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you, ladies.
Amen. Awesome. Awesome. And as we led our wonderful, weren't they great? Come on, give them a good hand. I have a couple of minutes left, and as they leave the stage, thank you guys. I am just going to take all of those questions, and just because we do have the time, give you a couple of minutes of the female perspective on some of those answers. Because I was reminded of a couple of things that have taken place here since this morning that just ties this beautifully together. I kept on hearing the words of Pastor Deborah, you know, stay in love. Stay in faith, stay together. I kept on hearing the words of Pastor Jessica saying, you know what? There's nothing we can do apart from the Word of God. You've got to get it in and live it out so that you can do, so you can live, so you can experience the wonders, the signs, the miracles of our God. And that is so true for every aspect that this man so wisely have answered for us today. There's no way that you can have healthy relationships. To be honest with you, I would not have a profession if it were not for the Word of God and the power of His Holy Spirit. If we don't have an intimate relationship with that Spirit of God, with that Son, when we surrender, like some of you came this morning, some of you came and said, you know what, Jesus, I cannot do this alone. I really need you. I need your intervention. Well, guess what? That is something that we need to do on a daily basis. When you get off from bed, you've got to surrender it to Him to see the wonders that He has for you that day. And yes, some miracles we receive seem bigger than others. A healing from cancer, a restored child, the provision that we did not have. But there's so many miracles that He gives us on a daily basis. The miracle of relationship, of being able to love you today, of being able to stay in the faith family and move our bodies and make it come to that Bible study, to that freedom class. So I just want to encourage you that as these answers resonate in your head, as you move around, as you shop, as you go home, as you sleep tonight, just remember that the wonders, the signs, the miracles, and everything that we're so expectantly waiting and wanting every day from our Father that wants to give it to us depends on us. It depends on our hearts being in alignment with Him, getting in His Word, eating it to find that revelation of where that gift is for us that day. Apart from Him, we can do nothing. But in Him, we are the owners of the earth. And when we get to heaven, we're going to get to celebrate with Him. And there's going to be not just unicorns there and all kinds of things that we have never even imagined, because where He's at is so, so perfect. It doesn't matter how broken or where the brokenness comes from while we're here. When we get to be with Him, it is going to be perfect. It is going to be magical. So I bless you all. Thank you for choosing our man, all our mano, to be here. And I have beautiful pastor. Don't run. It's okay. I will see you all back there at the end. Come hug me, kiss me, take pictures for social media. And yes, take a book too.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.